Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I love having Jeff Schwartz on the show. 8 years in the NFL, former Oregon Duck. Can catch him on Sirius XM Radio and the NFL Sirius XM station and Fox Sports. Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You is the name of his podcast. Bills himself on Twitter is a fat kid living a dream. At Jeff Schwartz on Twitter if you want to follow him. I got to ask him about a very controversial thing that he's involved in. I believe he tweeted something out today. Schwartz, did you make a case for the sandwich being the best meal of all time or lunch? What is that?
No, I said the sandwich is my favorite lunch item because it's so versatile. You change everything out every day. Like, I just think it's the best lunch item.
Yeah, it is versatile because you could do like a meatball sandwich, or you could do a BLT. You could go healthy, avocado right. And turkey. You're not lying.
It's not controversial. I love a sandwich. It's one of my favorite things. I have one almost every day. It's very you got leftovers. You just throw between some bread and you go after it.
Is it a sandwich if you go breadless with, like, the lettuce wrap? I don't buy that.
It's a lettuce wrap. Yeah. It's not a sandwich. Just like a hot dog is not a sandwich. Hot dog is a hot dog.
Yeah, hot dog's not a sandwich.
Hot dog bun.
But we used to have an associate producer who would get a tuna fish on lettuce. That's not a sandwich. That's a mess.
Yeah, that's just like a... That's not something I would eat, but... It is, you're just like wrapping tuna and lettuce and eating it. It's not a sandwich.
Yeah. Schwartz, let's talk Super Bowl. How do you feel about this game? What are you thinking? You always have a good feel for the NFL. What's your immediate takeaway on this Super Bowl?
The Chiefs offensive line is my immediate takeaway. If I had told you that they were playing their second left guard, their starting center, who actually was benched for a portion this year, their second right guard and their third right tackle, you would say, yeah, that team's not going to win. And yet, it doesn't seem to affect the Chiefs at all. I saw you had Mike Remmers on yesterday, the day before that. You know, he moved over to left tackle after playing right tackle for my brother this year. And it's just like, it's pretty remarkable that they can just keep this going amongst all the injuries. Like, you would think at some point, it just comes to an end, and I think that Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy just have an amazing ability to scheme up the right things to keep their offensive line out of harm's way. And with that being said, though, we saw last year the Chiefs had 10 points with about 55 minutes left in that Super Bowl, and it was working. The Niners' pass rush did get home. It did bother Pat Mahomes. And so I think we see a little bit of that this weekend. The question is, can the Bucs' offense keep up? We saw last year the Niners offense couldn't do it, right? In the end, they had opportunities to close that game out and couldn't do it. The Bucs have done a good job the last couple of weeks of finishing games strong on offense. So I think it's a more competitive game than people think it's going to be just because of those reasons. And I'm really excited. It's going to be a great way to end the season.
Tom Brady, you know, nothing short of amazing to see him back in a game. But, you know, what do you make of Brady being back there with a new team?
So the way I look at Tom Brady, especially as he gets older, right, he's not the same guy, but the aura of him is still the same. And when you play with a Tom Brady, if you're anyone on Tampa Bay's roster, the way you feel about it is this, because I've played with a couple quarterbacks like this, mostly Eli Manning, is that when you just feel that they'll make everything right in the end, right? They'll kind of, quote-unquote, save the day if you need them to do so. And so what that frees you to do as a player is only worry about your job. Like, you don't worry about anyone else. You just do your job. If you're the linebacker, you worry about your assignment. You don't try to fill up for anyone else because you know that your partner next to you is just doing his job because you know if If you just do your job, then Tom Brady will do his job and you'll win games. I think that's the confidence that Tom Brady brings to your team. And I thought Tampa would be good this year. I didn't think they'd be this good. I didn't think they'd be in the Super Bowl. I thought next year was probably their better year to do it, in year two of everything. But it just goes to show you that everyone on the team kind of gravitates toward the quarterback and towards Tom Brady. And I didn't think they'd beat New Orleans. I didn't think they would beat Green Bay. And here they are in the Super Bowl.
Jeff Schwartz with us, longtime NFL lineman, former Oregon Duck. Jason Pierre-Paul made the comment that kind of took a dig at Remmers, saying, you know, I don't even know that guy's name. What'd you make of that?
So he does this all the time. It's not the first time he does. He did this to David Bakhtiari week six or something when they played Green Bay for the first time. And Bakhtiari is the best pass-protecting left tackle in the NFL. He said, like, oh, I don't even know the guy's name. I'm not worried about it. I think JVP literally doesn't know the name of the guy he's playing. He just watches the film and just attacks him. And there are some guys that are like that. Like, I play we play a game on Sunday, right? And I would drive home and immediately turn the TV on and watch more football. And there are players that don't watch football. They're not fans of football. They're just really good at playing football. That wasn't me. I loved the game forever, and so I knew everyone. I knew everyone was playing. I knew everyone on the other team. And some players like JPP just either don't want to know because it's a sort of a mental thing for them, or they just don't know. They don't care.
What will you be watching early in the game? Give us something that, you know, we can all look at and go, you know, this is an indicator of how the game is unfolding. And what is Jeff Schwartz paying attention to?
Yeah. So I just want to see Tampa's offense because, you know, they are very consistent with running the ball on a first down, and it's freaking annoying. It's very annoying. You don't have to run the ball every first down. And so I'm curious to see if they come out more aggressive and kind of flip the script on first down, or they just come out, you know, first, I would say at first play of the game, they run the ball just to kind of keep it consistent. And then the second first down, they take a shot. Like, I just want to see how aggressive they are early in the game offensively. Tom Brady, they're 9 Super Bowls. They have yet to score a single touchdown in any of the first quarter to the 9 Super Bowls he's played in. Now, obviously, much different team now. You know, but Tom kind of has felt things out for the first quarter of Super Bowls. And so I want to see the aggressiveness. And if they can be aggressive offensively, then this is a game. If they come out kind of passive and kind of putter around and let the Chiefs get up, there's a problem. If the Chiefs get up 14-0, like, this game is over. So I just want to see how aggressive Tampa is offensively.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting that you pick up on stuff like that because I think, you know, former quarterbacks are looking, they want to see the secondary. Linemen want to watch the offensive and defensive line, but you're also prone to looking at tendencies as well. You mentioned the way that the Chiefs have had to remake their offensive line. Would the extra time and preparation for a Super Bowl be that much of a benefit to the Chiefs? Like, do you see that as, hey, you can get guys to gel a little bit with a couple of weeks, or is it just, hey, if you're playing with seconds and thirds, it's nothing short of amazing that you can continue to run the ball and do what you want to do on offense?
Well, there's two things here. One is the communication part of backup offensive linemen. And these guys have all played before, right? Remmers is going to left tackle. He knows the offense. He's played all season. Andrew Wiley is going from right guard to right tackle. He knows the offense. He's played all season. You know, Steven Wisniewski is playing right guard, his first start of the year for the Chiefs. Well, he started for them last year in the Super Bowl. Like, he knows the offense. So it's not about communication, in my opinion. It's a physical part of this. You're not practicing very much this time of year. So you're doing a lot of physical work. So how are their run fits going to be? How are their passing off line stunts going to be? Like, all these little things that, you know, take physical practice with your mate. With your line buddy, they're not going to really get that opportunity. And so, you know, it might be very subtle, right? It's first and 10, or let's say it's second and 8. The Chiefs go run the ball, and the left guard and left tackle get split on a double team. And it's, you know, they get, you know, 1 yard instead of 7. And now it's 3rd and 7. Now, obviously, Tampa's pass rush is getting after it. And they force an incompletion, and it's a punt. Like, no one's going to really notice that double team wasn't very good. But those are the little things that don't happen with the starting offensive line. They're not getting split on a double team on a simple inside zone backside block. Like, those type of things you're not going to really notice, I think, until after the game. But those one or two plays where the backup offensive linemen just physically aren't really aligned could really be important in the final outcome.
Patrick Mahomes, how does he factor into an inexperienced offensive line or an offensive line, as you mentioned, that maybe won't have a lot of reps?
Well, he could help him out with the depth of his drop in the pocket. Pat has had a tendency to drift out the back of the pocket at times. Obviously, last year it works when they're in 3rd and 15, but most of the time it doesn't really work. And so they just need to be able to work in concert. He needs to just kind of stay in the pocket, get the ball out quickly. Again, the communication is not a problem, man. I'm not worried about them not knowing what they're doing. Pat will get them right in pass protection and whatnot. I'm just, the physical matchup is what I'm looking to see. I think Pat will be fine in the pocket. He might get sacked or whatnot, but it's a depth of his drop. It's something that not talked about very often, but it's so true. If you drop past about 10 yards for a quarterback, that's on you, man. If you get hit, that's your fault.
Jeff Schwartz with us, former NFL offensive lineman. You mentioned Remmers. His last appearance in a Super Bowl, he had a bad game. He was eager to say, I need to play better. But he was lined up against Von Miller, who caused a couple of fumbles in that game. Can you, as a player like that, utilize that to come back and play a great game? Or are you a little concerned about, will Remmers get it done at left tackle?
I'm not really worried about him from 5 years ago. I mean, that doesn't, in my mind, doesn't really do anything for me. I just think his matchup is tough this year. And, it's a Super Bowl. Anyone you're going to play is probably good. So, if he gets beat, it's not because he got beat by Von Miller 5 years ago. If he gets beat, it's because JPP is really good at his job, right? I don't think – now, mentally for him, if he comes out in the first drive of the game and allows a sack, probably not great, right? Especially because in the back of your head what happened in the Super Bowl 5 years ago. But I don't think that really changes Mike Remmers' prep. You tell me he was going to prep less than 100%. Right. And then he realized that he got beat 5 years ago. Now this week he's going to prepare more than he should. Of course not. He's going to be prepared to play. I just think it's an easy, thing for fans to talk about. Oh, God, he got beat against Von Miller. And Von Miller right. and JPP are different players. And I hope Remmers the best. Remmers has actually played with almost every team that I've been on. He played with – he wore, the same number as me. Panthers – Vikings and Chiefs. It's really funny.
All right. Your brother, Mitchell, he's had a back issue. How's he doing with this? Can you give us an update on him?
Yeah, I mean, I have to find my legal paperwork on this one. At the time I speak to you, he's still an injured reserve. I mean, he's been out for 3 months. I don't think it's a surprise what's happening this weekend. Chiefs fans are like, is he coming back? I go, I don't know. Have you seen a report he's practiced in 3 months? What do you want me to tell you? I don't think I'm breaking news that it's 2 days before the Super Bowl. He hasn't practiced in months. So, look, obviously it sucks, man. It sucks to be hurt. I was hurt a bunch. I know what it feels like. I mean, it's even worse when your team, I think, plays well without you, even though they do miss him at times. I mean, last year in the Super Bowl, he was the best player on the field. He got Pro Football Focus as, I think, highest grade, at least maybe behind Nick Bosa. He was great last year at the Super Bowl, so they're going to miss him in a big way this weekend, and I don't think he'll be at the game and whatnot, obviously. It's a weird year with COVID, man. He hasn't been at the games previously because they can't let him. I think he's going to be there this weekend.
All right, so your pick, you like the Chiefs in a close game?
Yeah, I think, I said 38-27 to a bunch of people this week. The way the week has gone, I think I'm leaning to more like a 34-31 game. I just think it's close. Super Bowls, the margin of victory sometimes, last year was 11 points, the year before that was 10 points, but they're pretty close games for 55 minutes. I mean, there's a lot of times where the very end, the kind of score gets bigger. I just think this game is close. I think both teams are really good. There's a reason why they're both here. You have the greatest of all time to do it in Tom Brady. You have possibly the next greatest quarterback of all time in Pat Mahomes. Should be a fantastic game.
Schwartz, I appreciate you making time for us. I'll buy you a sandwich when this COVID's over, man. I appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
All right. There's Jeff Schwartz, 8 years in the NFL, former Oregon Duck. and his pick. I find a lot of people kind of swinging back and forth on the outcome of this game. We're going to talk prop bets in the next segment. What do you like? What do I like? I told you I was going to give you a three can't miss surefire blue chip 1-900. Canzano's got the pick. Wagers for the weekend. Next. I want to preface this segment by saying this is for entertainment purposes only. Okay? I don't want you wagering your rent. I don't want you wagering your last $10. I don't want you wagering your house. I want you to use this for entertainment only. Am I clear on that? Do you guys say that before your Saturday show, Judah and Zach? You bet the game on Saturdays right here on this station in Portland. 7:50 the game. Do you have to give a disclosure at the beginning of the show?
We do organically every once in a while for sure, especially if we're getting a little bold with our best bets.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I think you have to. You got to make that disclosure. All right, I'm going to give three wagers that I think are can't miss blue star, five star blue pick, whatever, you know, verified badge wagers. Am I getting that right? Am I sounding like one of those Jersey guys, Philly guys?
Nailed it.
Yeah. All right. And I want you guys to tell me if you're with me or you're not with me on the wager, okay? Zach, Judah, Peter. And Peter, by the way, are you having a sandwich or what?
No, why? What's up, man?
You got quiet. You must be having a sandwich.
You know what's funny is actually during that Schwartz interview, I was having a sandwich, but I'm here, man. Just rolling.
Yeah. What kind of sandwich? What do you eat?
I was having a chicken provolone, just a little bit of mustard on there.
It's a fancy sandwich.
I'm over here eating my animal crackers.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, here is my wager number one on my five-star can't-miss picks. I'm going into the prop bets. First touchdown scorer in the game. And I'm seeing Mike Evans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is plus 1,100. If somebody gave me a $50 bill, I might put it down on Mike Evans to score the first touchdown in this game. Are you with me or not?
Well, I like that one. I was actually eyeing Mike Evans anytime touchdown scorer, but if you want value, first-time touchdown scorer is the way to go. What'd you just see in the NFC Championship 2 weeks ago, right? He got a third and five go ball out of the slot, and then the first third down that they had from the high red zone, they hit him, you know, one-on-one. So if Breland is on Evans, I still like Evans. If Evans is on any other DB, I still like Evans. So he's an anytime TD score for me, but you might as well muscle up and go first time.
All right, you're with me. How about Zach?
Yeah, you know, and the Chiefs are a team that likes to defer to the second half. And Tampa Bay is a team that oftentimes they will defer, but sometimes they'll take the ball and go for it. So I feel like there's a 60% chance Tampa Bay does start with the football and 40% Kansas City. So if Tampa Bay does start with the football, I think I'm with you on that or Leonard Fournette, a little playoff Lenny at the goal line.
I like that. Peter Sampson. Sandwich Sampson.
Sampson. I am literally grabbing that in the scoreboard app right now. I love it.
Mike Evans, plus 1,100. All right, I like that one. Here's my second of my three can't-miss picks for the Super Bowl. Another prop bet, and it is under scoreboard specials on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app. Time of the first score in the game. I am wagering score on or after 5 minutes. You heard Schwartz talk about the Tom Brady Patriots not scoring in the first quarter, not getting touchdowns in the first quarter. I watch these teams every year in the Super Bowl who do this filling out period. It's a slow first 5 minutes. I'm going 5 minutes or later for the first score in the game when Mike Evans gets in the touchdown. Right now those odds are minus 115, so it's 50 to return you 93.48, if that's how you want to wager it. Are you with me or not, Judah Newby?
I like it, and honestly, Zach's the one that talked me into it. Zach's got some notes on it.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that one, John. And really, all you need there is one punt when you think about it. So, you know, Super Bowls tend to start slow, especially with Tom Brady. I'm with you on that one.
You know, normally yeah. I get down with that because you see guys ready to run through a wall when they come out on the field, and then it kind of leads to some bad football for the first quarter. Man, Brady's been there 10 times. Mahomes is there the second year in a row. Normally I'd be with you, but John, I'm going to say no on that one.
All right, my third can't-miss pick for this game, also a prop bet. First scoring method, first game, first score in the game. You can bet field goal, touchdown, safety. I'm going field goal in this game. You're getting plus 175 with a field goal. So if you throw 10 bucks on it, it returns you 27.50. Field goal is the first score of the game. Feels like a good one for me. Judah Newby, you with me?
I hate to keep agreeing with you, but Week 12, these teams played, and everybody remembers the Chiefs blew out Tampa Bay. Well, what was the first score of that game? Oh, it was a Kansas City field goal. They got deep into the red zone, but, you know, Tampa Bay held them out of the end zone and was able to hold them to three. I think that, again, the Seahawks did the same thing. They did it in Super Bowl 40, kept on driving on the Steelers, but had to settle for 3 points on their first take. I kind of like that over a touchdown. But then again, then you're hoping for the first touchdown scorer would be Mike Evans after that, so you're kind of getting greedy.
Yes, we need a field goal followed by an Evans touchdown. And then go ahead, Zach, I didn't ask you yet. You agree with the field goal is the first score of the game?
You know, I think there's great value for it, although that's not going to be one that I'm going to touch personally.
Why, too arbitrary?
Yeah, just I worry about a Tyreek Hill explosion touchdown.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.